Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldreich and the Mezechus Yevamos Daf Pei Beis, the eighth parak ha'aro. So the three dafs we're going to focus on, number one, on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that implied that he holds that Truma nowadays is a deraisa. The Gemara here questions if that really is his position, for Osadna Braisa, Shtei Kupos Achashel Chulun V'Achashel Truma. If there are two boxes, one of Chulun grain and one of Truma grain, and in front of them there are two sock containers of grain, one of Chulun and one of Truma, and they fell into each other, where one box of the former fell into the other box of the latter. Hari Elu Mutari, behold, they are permissible, for I say that the Truma fell into the Truma, and the Chulun fell into the Chulun. Rish Lakish said, "Behu shirabu chulun al hatruma." This is provided that the chulun grain in the chulun box was more than the truma in the saw container. That way, if the truma fell into the chulun box midiraisa, it would be batal midiraisa. But Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afu bishul rabu chulun al hatruma." This law applies even if the chulun grain in the chulun box was not more than the truma in the saw container. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that truma nowadays is deraisa, how can he not require rov to be mevatal? Rabbi Yochanan answers that the Braisa is the Rabban, who hold the Truma nowadays is only the Rabban. And his earlier statement was in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, who says that nowadays Truma is a Deraisa. Pointing to the Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan really holds that Rov is not required to be Mevato of the Rabban Isser. For it was taught in the Mishnah, Mikveh Sheish Bo Arbim Sa Mechuvanos. If a mikveh contains exactly 40 saw of water, and one put in a saw of other liquids and then removed a saw of the mixture, the mikveh is still valid, and it was said in the Rabbi Yochanan, this procedure of adding a saw of water and removing a saw may be repeated ad rubo up until the majority of the mikveh. Does this not mean that a majority of the mikveh water remained? And since maim she'uvim, drawn water, is only ad the rabban psul for a mikveh, this implies Rabbi Yochanan requires rov to be mevato ad the rabban iser. The Gemara answers that what is meant is that we should not remove a majority of mikveh water, but an equal amount of mikveh water is enough to be mevato the rabban psul. Alternatively, we could say that Rabbi Yochanan does require rov, but in the case of the boxes of grain and chulun, we may rely on the lenient assumption that the chulun fell into the chulun and the truma fell into the truma. And point number three, on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued whether Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that an androgynous is a definite male or a suffix male. The more challenges Reish Lakish's opinion that he's a suffix male, for the Mishnah stated, androgynous nose, an androgynous marries a woman, which implies l'chadchila, and the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that he's a definite male. The Gemara also challenges Rabbi Yochanan, for the Mishnah stated, Rabbi Eliezer says that a male is chayv skila, stoning, if he had relations with an androgynous as with a male. This implies that the Tanakhama, who holds that he's not chayv skila, holds that androgynous is a suffix male. The Gemara answers that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakhama hold that he is a zocher vadai, a definite male. And the difference is that the Tanakhama holds he is chayv stoning if he had relations in the male or female place, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that he's only chayv stoning if he had relations in the male place. So once again, the 3 points are number one, on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that implied that he holds that Truma nowadays is a deraisa. The Gemara here questions if that really is his position, for Osadna Braisa, Shtei Kupos Achashel Chulun V'Achashel Truma. If there are two boxes, one of Chulun grain and one of Truma grain, and in front of them there are two saw containers of grain, one of Chulun and one of Truma, and they fell into each other, where one box of the former fell into the other box of the latter. Hari Elu Mutari, behold, they are permissible, for I say that the Truma fell into the Truma, and the Chulun fell into the Chulun. Rish Lakish said, "Behu shirabu chulun al hatruma." This is provided that the chulun grain in the chulun box was more than the truma in the saw container. That way, if the truma fell into the chulun box midiraisa, it would be batal midiraisa. But Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afu bishul rabu chulun al hatruma." This law applies even if the chulun grain in the chulun box was not more than the truma in the saw container. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that truma nowadays is deraisa, how can he not require rov to be mevatal? Rabbi Yochanan answers that the Braisa is the Rabban, who hold the Truma nowadays is only the Rabban. And his earlier statement was in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, who says that nowadays Truma is a Deraisa. Pointing to the Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan really holds that Rov is not required to be Mevato of the Rabban Isser. For it was taught in the Mishnah, Mikveh Sheish Bo Arbim Sa Mechuvanos. If a mikveh contains exactly 40 saw of water, and one put in a saw of other liquids and then removed a saw of the mixture, the mikveh is still valid, and it was said in the Rabbi Yochanan, this procedure of adding a saw of water and removing a saw may be repeated ad rubo up until the majority of the mikveh. Does this not mean that a majority of the mikveh water remained? And since maim she'uvim, drawn water, is only ad the rabban psul for a mikveh, this implies Rabbi Yochanan requires rov to be mevato ad the rabban iser. The Gemara answers that what is meant is that we should not remove a majority of mikveh water, but an equal amount of mikveh water is enough to be mevato ad the rabban psul. Alternatively, we could say the Rabbiokan does require Rove, but in the case of the boxes of grain and Chuan, we may rely on the lenient assumption that the Chuan fell into the Chuan and the Truma fell into the Truma. And point number three, on Daf Pei Av Amud Av, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued whether Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that an androgynous is a definite male or a suffix male. The Gemara challenges Reish Lakish's opinion that he's a suffix male, for the Mishnah stated, androgynous nose, an androgynous marries a woman, which implies l'chachila, and the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that he's a definite male. The Gemara also challenges Rabbi Yochanan, for the Mishnah stated, Rabbi Yezer says that a male is chayv skila, stoning, if he had relations with an androgynous as with a male. This implies that the Tanakhama, who holds that he's not chayv skila, holds that androgynous is a suffix male. The Gemara answers that both Rabbi Yezer and the Tanakhama hold that he is a zocher vadai, a definite male. And the difference is that the Tanakhama holds he is chayv stoning if he had relations in the male or female place, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that he's only chayv stoning if he had relations in the male place. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Pei Beis, and we are making a change to the Siman. I'm retiring the former Siman, and the new Siman is peanut butter. Now, I'm not a big fan of changing Simanim. In this case, I am. It's going to be peanut butter moving forward, but do not worry. I don't anticipate many changes happening in the future, if any at all. But Pei Beis, now the Siman is peanut butter, which happened to be extremely popular choice when we did the Choose the Siman contest. So Pei Beis, the Siman is peanut butter. So here goes. The boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of Chuan and Truma grain that fell into two similar boxes decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikvah and then remove a saw until he dropped and broke it in fright when he saw an androgynous marry a woman. Once again, in slow motion. The boy who got peanut butter, that must be on Daf Pei Beis. The boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of Chuan and Truma grain that fell into two similar boxes, which reminds us that the Gemara questions whether Ryokan really holds Truma nowadays is a deraisa. Based on a braisa that taught that if two boxes of grain, Chuan and Truma, fell into two other boxes, one of Chuan and one of Truma, we can assume that the Chuan fell into the Chuan and the Truma fell into the Truma. And Ryokan says this law applies even if the Chuan grain in the Chuan box was not more than the Truma in the saw container. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that Truma nowadays is a deraisa, how can he not require Rov to be Mevatel? Rabbi Yochanan answers that the braisa is the Rabban who hold that Truma nowadays is only the Rabban, and his earlier statement was in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, who says that nowadays Truma is a deraisa. So the boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of Chuan and Truma grain that fell into two similar boxes decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikvah and then remove a saw, which reminds us. The Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan really holds that Rov is not required to be Mevatel of the Rabban Isser, for it was taught in the Mishnah if a mikvah contains exactly 40 saw of water, one put in a saw of other liquids, and then removed a saw of the mixture, the mikvah is still valid, and it was said in the Rabbi Yochanan, this procedure of adding a saw of water and removing a saw may be repeated ad rubo, up until the majority of the mikvah. Doesn't this mean that the majority of the mikvah water remained? And since Maim She'uvim, drawn water is only at the Rabbanim Psul for a mikvah, this implies the Rabbi Yochanan requires Rov to be Mevato ad the Rabbanim Isser. The Gemara answers that what is meant is that we should not remove a majority of the mikvah water, but an equal amount of mikvah water is enough to be Mevato the Rabbanim Psul. Alternatively, we could say that Rabbi Yochanan does require Rov, but in the case of the boxes of grain and Chulin, we may rely on the leaning assumption that the Chulin fell into the Chulin and the Truma fell into the Truma. So the boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of Chulin and Truma grain that fell into two similar boxes decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikvah and then remove a saw until he dropped and broke it in fright when he saw an androgynous marry a woman. Which reminds us, on Daf Pei Av Amud Av, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued whether Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that androgynous is a definite male or a suffix male. The Gemara challenges Reish Lakish's opinion that he's a suffix male, for the Mishnah stated, androgynous nose, an androgynous marries a woman, which implies l'chatchila, and the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold he's a definite male. The Gemara continues to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's position as well. So once again, the boy got peanut butter all over two boxes of Chulin and Truma grain that fell into two similar boxes, decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikvah and then remove a saw until he dropped and broke it in fright when he saw an androgynous marry a woman. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Dafayin Ches. So the Simmer Dafayin Ches is a child going ugh. So here goes. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim who went ugh, child going ugh, that must be more on Dafayin Ches. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went, ugh, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, which reminds us, the pasuk regarding Mitzri and Edomi converts states, Vanimashi Yavaldu Lahem, Dorshishi Yabu Lahem, Bakahal Hashem. sons who are born to them in the third generation may enter into the Kahal of Hashem. A brisa questions if sons are mentioned, why are generations mentioned, and vice versa. An answer is if sons were stated and generations were not stated, I would have said Ben Rishon Masheni Aser Shlishi Mutter, that the first and second son are Aser, but the third son is Mutter. Therefore, the pasuk says Doros, generations, and if generations were stated and sons were not stated, I would have said V'osana Omdi Ma Har Sinai. The Torah is referring to those standing at Har Sinai. So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who an Uch, that took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, which reminds us that if Rabbi Yochanan does not say Uber Ki Yerach Imo, that a fetus is considered like the thigh of its mother, how does it sit with Rava, who said, Nachus Mu'berish Nisgaira Bana Ein Sarach Tevila? If a pregnant Gentile woman converted, her child does not require immersion. The child is not considered the thigh of its mother, but rather it's a separate entity. Why does the child not require its own tevila? So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went ugh that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, and went ugh again when the famine in the land entered its third year. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates David's efforts to determine what was the cause of a famine that ended up lasting 3 years. Eventually, asked the Urim and Tumim, and Hashem replied that the famine is for Shaul in that they did not eulogize Shaul properly, and also for Shaul's sin that he killed the Givonim. The Gemara clarifies that since Shaul massacred the inhabitants of Nov, the city of Kohanim, who supplied the Givonim with water and food, the pasuk regards it as though Shaul killed them. Ayin test. So the similar ayin test is a pen, and we often use a sofer with a quill. So here goes. The angry scribe. Scribe. That must be Murdaf. Ayin test. The angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that David decreed against the Nisim when he sought to appease them, and they said they wanted him to give them 7 of Shaul's sons to hang. David sought an alternative way to appease them, but they would not be appeased. David said, Shosh simanim yesh b'umazo, there are 3 simanim of this nation, referring to Bnei Yisrael, harachamanim, baishanim, v'gomle chasadim. With a merciful, bashful, and do acts of kindness, whoever has these 3 simanim is worthy to cleave to this nation through marriage. Rashi explains that since the Givonim lacked rachamim, David decreed that they may not marry Jews. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, which reminds us, there were multiple decrees against the Nisim. Moshe decreed for that generation, Yeshua decreed while the temple stood, and David decreed against him for even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, when he overheard someone call his father Asris Chama moments before his death, which reminds us, Rava said that if only having a shasa kosher, a period of suitability, does not create a need for chalitza, eno chayisha shekasher liyabam, you'll never have a woman that is fit for yibum. For there is no widow whose husband did not become a Sri Chama for one moment prior to his death. The Gemara answers that there it's merely a weakness that has begun for him, not actual sterility. Daf Pei. So the Simran Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. The painter. That must be Simran Daf Pei. The painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month reaching his 20th birthday, which reminds us, according to Rabbi Avo, a child born in the 8th month of pregnancy, even if he's fully developed with hair and nails, we do not say that he's a bar kayama, a viable child, until he reaches the age of 20. The more questions whether a ben shmona can live, for it was taught in a brisa, ben shmona haruka evan, a child of the 8th month is treated like a stone and is forbidden to move him on Shabbos. The more answers Rabbi Avo was referring to a case where the child was a full-term 7-month fetus who developed simanim and lingered in the womb for an additional month. Even if he was born with the simanim of a viable child, such as with fully developed hair and nails, the child is not established as a bar kayama until the age of 20. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month, reaching his 20th birthday, used his Sri's Chama and Island, his anatomy book, as a guide, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a price that listed the various simanim for a Sri's Chama and an Island. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month, reaching his 20th birthday, used his Sri's Chama and Island's anatomy book as a guide to paint a picture of a saris with all the simanim. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim regarding the simanim of a saris. Rav Huna says a person is not considered a saris ad shiukua until he has all of the simanim, but Rabbi Yochanan says, afil be'ech mehen, he's a saris even if he has just one of them. Daf payoff. So the simon daf payoff is a grandpa. So here goes. Grandpa, that must be more than daf payoff. Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson, give his bas Yisrael wife Truma, which reminds us that in the next mission states, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, androgynous Cohen, Shanasa bas Yisrael machil ba Truma, an androgynous Cohen, who's married to a bas Yisrael, entitles her to eat Truma. The Gemara brings a malchuk as a rhyme. Rishakish said, machil ba Truma ve'en machil b'chaz v'shok. He entitles her to eat Truma, but not the breast and thigh of kachim kalim. But Rabbi Yochanan says, af machil b'chaz v'shok. He even entitles her to eat the chaz v'shok. Rishakish holds that androgynous is a safek ish, and therefore is only permitted to Truma, which is nowadays at the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that an androgynous is a zachar v'adai, and therefore is even permitted to the deraisa, chaz v'shok. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson, give his bas Yisrael wife Truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed Truma and chulun figs, which reminds us, Reish Lakish learns from the case of a round cake of pressed figs of Truma that got mixed with other round cakes of figs, that it becomes batal. Rashi explains that if Truma nowadays were a deraisa, it would not become batal, for items that are commonly counted when they are sold are considered a davar choshuv, something of significance, which the laws of bittul do not apply to. Rav Yochanan responded that he went in a brisa that a piece of tamei chatas meat that became mixed with slices of taro chatas meat does become batal, which demonstrates that the rice of prohibited foods that are commonly counted when sold are subject to bittul. Rather, it's only items that are exclusively counted that are deemed the davar chashuv and are not subject to bittul. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his bas Yisrael wife Truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed Truma and chulun figs, and laughed about the time he mixed a piece of chatas tamei meat with 100 pieces of taur chatas meat. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan's case was where a piece of chatas tamei meat got mixed with 100 pieces of taur chatas meat, and it became batal. We see from here that the tamei slice of meat, even though it's commonly counted when it's sold, becomes batal. This contradicts Reish Lakish's opinion that any item which is commonly counted is a davar chashuv and is not batal. Rabbi Chiya Breid Rav Huna defended Reish Lakish's ruling by explaining the case as b'nimucha, where the piece of tamei chatas meat dissolved. Therefore, it's no longer commonly counted and is subject to bittul. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.